What does freedom cost America? The price has been our sons and our daughters, our uncles and our aunts, our grandpas and our grandmas, our cousins, perhaps our moms and our dads, those that were willing to take a brave stand against tyrants who didn't want to obey the laws that God had given to keep peace on this earth. Think, for example, of Hitler in the 1940s when he rose to power and committed heinous atrocities against his own countrymen and surrounding nations. Armed forces all over the world had to stand up and fight for the freedom of mankind. The awful price of freedom was beyond anyone's imagination. Millions and millions and millions of people died in World War II because of a wicked tyrant named Adolf Hitler and his wicked regime. That was 2.5% of the world's population that was eradicated. Did you know that on D-Day in 1944, 150,000 men left their ships on Utah Beach? They boarded flat-bottom boats made by Andrew Higgins of Louisiana, and severe winds and vicious seas blew those boats as much as 2 miles off of course. When the troops arrived on the beach, their battle plans were totally obsolete because the military objective they were trained to take wasn't there. Amphibious tanks were supposed to land first on Omaha Beach and then our troops go behind those tanks and then take the cliffs. The vast majority of those tanks sank in the English Channel, drowning the entirety of their crew before they even fired a shot. Most of their air support, the invading forces were told, would soften the landing areas, did more damage to cow pastures than they did to the Germans. In fact, it killed many U.S. troopers who landed the night before. And why is that? Because when the bombers came over it, it was overcast. And the bombarders waited just a few seconds too late to drop their bombs on the Germans. Trying to be cautious, they landed in cow pastures, and behind the lines of our own paratroopers, they were killed by friendly fire. General Rommel, the Desert Fox, built dams and flooded the fields. The paratroopers landed in 4 to 6 feet of water. Many drowned because they were weighted down with 200 pounds of weapons to fight behind the enemy lines. The paratroopers who landed were miles off their course and miles off their target. They were kept from shooting each other because they had the child's toy called the cricket clicker, so that they could identify one with another. Some paratroopers had their planes explode into balls of fire in midair. Planes full of America's finest paratroopers died in a blazing inferno before they were even privileged to fire a shot. Some paratroopers were dropped right on top of German-occupied cities and were machine-gunned to death before they even hit the ground. Those who came ashore on flat-bottom boats were mercilessly machine-gunned together. When the tank door went down on many of the boats, machine-gun fire raked those boats and every man was slaughtered before they even got into the water, much less the beach. Had Americans today known the price of their freedom, our posterity would be building rather than tearing down, honoring instead of dishonoring our heritage. As a matter of fact, our prison systems would be empty and crime would nowhere be tolerated. One thing we see through the American media, for example, practically every day of the week, no mention of the price paid for our freedoms, yet politics are being played out as if it's a game, and immorality is being spewed forth as to only destroy our foundations. Murder is the norm, and they say, if it bleeds, it leads. Look at a child. You see how he's so sensitive, even when he cuts his finger, he sees the blood and cringes at such a fearful sight. A child understands the value of life, and yet the media in America sells death for the ratings of the week. Look, America, at how you've been desensitized. If we go back and look at the price paid for our freedoms, we would understand that it was somebody's son, somebody's daddy, somebody's mommy, grandpa, aunt, or maybe perhaps somebody's uncle. Someone had to shed their blood for our freedoms. The media doesn't show you the price of these young people that are dying in foreign wars today. Let's go back 235 years to understand the price that our signers, namely of the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution,
here we go.
Roger Sherman,
a signer of the Declaration of Independence, signer of the Constitution, stated, "I believe that there is only one living and true God, existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are revelation from God, that God did send his own Son to become a man, die in the room and stead of sinners, and thus to lay a foundation for the offer of pardon and salvation to all mankind, so all may be saved who are willing to accept the gospel offer." Roger also stated that sad will be the day when the American people forget their traditions and their history and no longer remember that the country that they love, the institutions they cherish, and the freedom that they hope to preserve were born from the throes of armed resistance to tyranny and nursed in the rugged arms of fearless men.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean, and of course this is one of those days that we were not going to miss. Nor do we miss very few. As a matter of fact, when I think about it, across the boards, we're on radio on Thanksgiving, we're radio on radio on the Christmas. I mean, we're here because we want to be with the people that don't have any other place to go. And this, in a way, is one of those days that we need to commemorate as well, of course, because of those that went before us, fought, bled, and died to give us the freedoms that we have today. Some people say to me, and I've already seen a couple comments, Bradley, but you know, a lot of the wars are unconstitutional, correct? But that's a reflection of the people that allowed the soldiers to be sent by the Congress in the first place. So don't blame them for what they did when you allowed them to be sent. And folks, it's much worse than that. But again, what we need to do is make sure that we honor those men that are willing to do what needs to be done. And I'm not excusing them neither from knowing what it is that they should know as to what they're fighting for and who they're fighting on the behalf of is vitally important, of course. But I'm not here to dispute that today. I'm here to merely honor those men that fought, bled, and died, giving us what it is that we have today. You know, it's interesting. I played a video for you during the intro here before we went live, and it's called The Price, The Awful Price of Freedom and Redemption. It has almost 200,000 views on it. And it's interesting because it's one of those videos that once you begin to watch it, you got to watch it all the way through. Why? Because it goes right to the heart. Remember, God speaks to the heart, not the head. And this is one of those videos because when you look at this in the natural, 1 Corinthians 2:14, we can look at Calvary and we can understand in part as to what Christ did for us on that cross when he sacrificed himself as the propitiation for the sins of the world, and that being me and those that are called according to his purposes. So anyways, with that, friends, do you notice also that Jesus would also speak in parables? You know, remember how he always said that he always spoke in parables, and he said unto the disciples and the apostles, unto them, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but those that were without, it wasn't. Well, he spoke in the natural. He always spoke in the natural, and then in the spiritual, and then he explained the kingdom of God. And I have another thought here that I need to share before we get rolling on this. I have a book here called The Soldier of the Cross, who brought forth in this book when I wrote it was to show men the price paid through parables in the natural, so we can understand again in part what Jesus did. As I'm not suggesting in any sense of the word that there's any comparison, but I am saying that it does help us understand because it goes right to the heart concerning the price paid for our freedoms and our redemption. But I remember a guy read this book and he had a real problem with me, and he said, "You know, you're talking about all these soldiers in the book and the price that they paid, but Bradley, a lot of these wars were unconstitutional. Again, you're straining at the gnat and you're swallowing the camel because you're purposely missing the point that I'm trying to make. And don't forget the Jesus that you say that you served continuously taught in parables." He taught in parables, and that's what this book is all about. It's called Soldier of the Cross. If you'd like to check it out, go to sonsoflibertymedia.com. Much of what we're going to be talking about today has everything to do with the context of that book called The Soldier of the Cross. Now, as I just highlighted, Jesus always spoke in parables. He spoke first in the natural and then in the spiritual as he explained the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." So when I look at the normal or the natural, forgive me, when I look to the natural, I see what our veterans did in going to war on the behalf of we the people, the innocent dying and fighting on the behalf of the guilty. Okay? These men, what they did is they magnified the law. Exodus 20, Isaiah 42, 21, Matthew 5, 17. You can also go to Psalm 40, verse 7 as well. Against the guilty. They magnified the law against the guilty, or at least those that we've been told by the mainstream media that were guilty, right? But these men magnified the law against the guilty of all sorts in bringing judgment upon their heads. And in the end, what is it? Well, to establish righteousness and peace. Isaiah 51, verse 4, concerning the way that the Lord had commanded. And yet I ask, what was the price paid by those soldiers in doing so on our behalf? I mean, we're talking about Memorial Day today, right? It's a memorial. It's a commemoration of what men did for us to give us the things that we have today. We all know that. But when we start to look at what those soldiers went through, that's what I want to get to. And this is what I want you to hear. I mean, because when we begin to think of those soldiers departing and being separated from their families, those soldiers, in many cases, young, very young, just getting out of high school in some cases, they're being separated from their families. They depart into a foreign land to fight on the behalf of the governments of the world. They also not only depart from their and separate from their families, but just consider who their families are, their parents, their wives, their children, and in the end, in many cases, the giving up of their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors, just like our forefather ended the Declaration of Independence with. And when we comprehend all of this, it's relatively easy to understand why it is that we hold these men in high esteem, or why it is that we honor them, which means to be held in high esteem in our daily lives. Now, I also want you to understand that I'm going to lay a premise, and at the end, I'm going to ask some questions concerning the premise that I'm laying, because so many people are talking about Happy Memorial Day today. You know, somebody just said hi to me from Texas just a couple minutes ago, and they said, "Hello, happy Monday." I said, "Yep, we still have the freedom to do the right thing." And the question that I'm going to ask you when we're all done here, friends, is this gratitude? Is this gratitude? Because we can honor those men with our lips, and our hearts can be far from them. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but folks, I'm telling you what, it needs to be addressed, and we're going to address it today. I got a post up right now, affiliates, where it says, "Your day at the beach," and it shows the American people relaxing today on the beach. And then it shows on the bottom of this meme that it was brought to you by Their Day at the Beach, and we're talking about June 6, 1944. But again, let's consider the price paid, because when we comprehend all of this, or when comprehending all of this, again, we have to understand why we hold these men in high esteem. It's because of what they sacrificed on their behalf to give us concerning what it is that we have today. So freedom is not free. We know that freedom was given unto us to do what we ought to do, not what we want to do. And again, one of those questions I'm going to lay to your candor is, what are you doing with that freedom that's been given to you? at such a high cost. We'll get to that in just a moment. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
This is Alan Keyes. I'm glad to have an opportunity to talk to you for a moment about my friend Bradley Dean. He's making a great contribution to, I think, the vital work, not only of helping to wake people up to the importance of our faith, but especially spreading that word to the younger generations who are desperately in need of it. Help him do his work and spread it further.
BBSRadio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Henry Knox, Revolutionary War General and Secretary of War, he said, "First, I think it proper to express my unshaken opinion of the immorality of my soul or mind, and to dedicate and devote the same to the supreme head of the universe, to that great and tremendous Jehovah, who created the universal frame of nature, worlds, and systems, and number infinite. To this awfully sublime being do I resign my spirit with unlimited confidence of his mercy and protection." Some say, well, who's Henry Knox? Well, Henry Knox famously referred to the cannons that he transported from Fort Ticonderoga to Boston in the winter of 1775 to 1776 as his noble train of artillery. Henry actually transported 59 artillery pieces, roughly 60 tons of cannons and mortars, 300 miles from Fort Ticonderoga to Boston to break the British siege. The reason for all this? Henry said, "We are fighting for our country, for our posterity. On the success of this campaign, the happiness or misery of millions may depend." Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. If you don't want to call in at any time, please do. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Up on social media platforms, sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com, and or beforeitsnews.com. beforeitsnews.com as well. One more time, 281-845-4704. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that, we follow the Christ here, John 14:6. Acts 4:12, the list goes on. Now, we were just talking about the price, and we were making a distinction between the parables and how Jesus taught men in the natural so they could understand what he was teaching them in the spiritual. And when we look at what the price and what the price has been concerning the sacrifice of those men that have given themselves up for the freedoms in which we have from the very beginning of this country, the inception, to where we're at in the present, has been a high cost, no question about it. And I want to remind everybody, too, 93% of the existence of this country, which is now 250 years, do you know that this country has been in wars? There's no reason for it, absolutely. I mean, again, friends, if we were following the rule of the Constitution, and I don't mean to diminish from what we're going to talk about here, but I do want to put this out there because it's important that we make distinction. But I do want you to understand that, folks, if we uphold the laws found within the Constitution, it would be the tyrants that would be hanging from a rope rather than hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of innocent men and women fighting each other that have never met each other a day in their lives. And that's exactly what's going on. And somehow or another, there's people out there that find honor in that. Well, I'm talking about the honorable wars here, okay? Because make distinction biblically, friends. There is the Lord's wars and there's man wars. There's man's wars. And what we have seen in this country, that 93% of the time have been man's wars, not the Lord's wars in any sense of the word. So in saying that, friends, the natural response that we should have to all of this, because we understand that the objective of the soldier is that them soldiers will bestow upon the people through their sacrifice the freedom from the tyrants at the expense of their obedience and sacrifice. That's what a real Christian is, too, by the way. It really, truly is. The natural response of the people to their sacrifices would be that of you, America, would be that of gratitude. A gratitude that would rightfully live for what many of them died to give you. And without question, an answer of gratitude to the veterans and their sacrifices would be and should be the people's natural response. Gratitude, thankfulness, living for what they died for. I can take you through scripture, John 15:13. I can take you 1 John 4:10. I can take you over to none other than John 3:16. People talk about that all the time. That's what we're talking about here, friends, because he is the captain of our salvation, the greatest of soldiers. But again, we're talking about in the natural because of Memorial Day today. Now, the price has been what? Our grandfathers. I come from a military family. It's been our grandfathers, in many cases, our fathers, our sons, our uncles, our cousins, our friends, our neighbors, those that were willing to take a brave stand against the tyrants who do not want to obey the laws that God has given to maintain peace here on this earth. That's exactly what a tyrant is, those that are trying to create a world without God. And what are righteous people to do? Stand up against them, tyrants, because that's all Scripture teaches us. You know, another thing I was just thinking about when I was highlighting this, the price of our freedoms concerning our fathers. You know, they say that in war, in times of peace, sons should bury their fathers. But in times of war, what do we see? We see the fathers burying their sons. There's something wrong with that, America. But that's the truth of the matter. So let's go back 250 years to see for ourselves the sacrifices giving leading up to the present as to where we're at today concerning this day, Memorial Day. When we look at the signers of the Declaration of Independence, who rightfully acknowledge that our rights come from God, and the U.S. Constitution, with ends in the year of our Lord 1787, and the signers of the Bill of Rights, what do we see? Well, we see five signers were captured by the British as traitors. That was a righteous war. 12 of them had their homes ransacked and burned, while 2 of them lost their sons in the Revolutionary War, and another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds of hardship or the Revolutionary War. Now, when we go to John Hart, he was driven from his wife's bedside when she was dying, and their 13 children fled for their lives. John's fields were laid waste, and for more than a year he lived in forests and caves, only to return home and find his wife dead and his children completely vanished. A few weeks later, Declaration of Independence signer John Hart died from exhaustion and a broken heart. Can you imagine that? But he did all of that in sacrifice of himself, of his family, to give us what it is that we have today. Oh, and P.S., Lewis and Morse, Philip Livingston suffered similar fates. I want you to think of this with me, if you will. When we go back to the 1930s and the 1940s, let's just take it back there. And again, I want to make clear, much of the present information that we have today is misinformation. We've been led to believe the wrong way. I was just talking to one of my sons yesterday, and he had said something, and I said, remember back when John Adams, the second president of the United States, was introduced to a painting concerning the forefathers, well, they all signed the parchment called the Declaration of Independence in Philadelphia there. And he said, yes. John got angry with the artist because he said, John did, that there's nothing so false as modern history. And what he did is he said to the artist, he said, at no time did our forefathers ever meet at one time. Because most of them came in and signed the parchment, the Declaration of Independence, and then they fled Philadelphia for their lives. Also consider this, my friends, and I told my son this yesterday. I said, everybody loves to talk about William Wallace, Braveheart, which is a true story, much of it, not all of it. But I said, do you remember at the beginning of the movie how it started off? I said, remember the commentator and the narrator said that history is written by men who hung heroes? Americans, do you understand that the history that we have today has been modified to fit the narrative of what? Those that have hung heroes. So when I talk about what I'm going to talk about here, going back to the 1930s and the 1940s, we do need to understand that a lot of the history that we have been given is completely falsified. The monsters are actually the good guys, and the good guys are actually the monsters as to how they sold it to us today. And again, I think it's vitally important for all of us to understand this, because if we don't learn to cleave unto the Lord, what's going to happen is that history is going to repeat itself again and again. So without further ado, I wanted to make that point because I want my kids to think about what they're being told. Because, friends, for the most part, whatever you're being told today concerning modern history, outside of the fact that I've done 366 high schools, I've had principals tell me that the history and the science books are being changed every 3 to 7 years. Now, if that's been the case over the last 250 years, we can see that the truth of the matter concerning our history in the present has been completely inverted. And folks, it's not hard to detect concerning what it is that we're seeing today. We have a people today on this earth that claim to be the chosen of God, when in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. They are the synagogue of Satan, is what they are. And they claim that they're the children of God. They're selling themselves to the world as the chosen of God. And the narrative that they have been laying out to the American people and people worldwide has been lost long ago, only to prove and affirm my point in which I make to you right now. That's why it's scary when you look at people and they actually think they know what they're talking about, when in fact you know that what they think they're talking about is completely untrue. And a majority of what I just highlighted, friends, is how you're getting your information today in this country. Sad to say. Your forefathers have been made out to be what? Terrorists. The revisions have completely revised who they are, where people actually believe that our forefathers were deists, that they were cult members, that they were Satanists. And yet, if I go talk to a farmer across the street, friends, in a local county where the farmers reside, and ask them the question, if I sow seed in a field in the springtime after you plow the ground, Hosea 10:12, what kind of a harvest are you going to reap? He's going to tell me just what I'm going to tell you. The seed is going to reproduce after its own kind. You can't do otherwise. And yet we have 81% of the American people that profess to be Christians today. How could it be otherwise that our forefathers were in fact Christians? And it's the Satanists and it's the devils of the day that are trying to convince you of the opposite concerning the truth of the matter. We'll be right back. Sons of LibertyRadio.com.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So, don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hi there, I'm Ken Crow, conservativedailybriefing.com. I just want to tell you, I have listened to some of the greatest speakers in American history. I have never in my life heard a more powerful message from a more patriotic person. Bradley Dean is the epitome of liberty, freedom, and patriotism. If you feel like you need a shot of good old-fashioned patriotism today, get out and hear Bradley Dean. You won't hear a better speaker.
The second commandment in Exodus 20 tells us to beware of creating a god in our own image. A god, for example, all mercy, no justice, all love, no wrath, all grace, no judgment, all accepting, no rejecting, all heaven, no hell. Folks, this is not the God of the Bible. I speak to the Christians, food for thought. If you don't experience persecution, it may be because the world can't tell whose side you're on.
That's right.
That's right. The TV is my shepherd, I shall not want. It makes me to lie down on the sofa. It leads me away from the faith, and it destroys my soul. It leads me in the paths of sex and violence for the sponsor's sake. Yeah, though I walk in the shadow of Christian responsibilities, there will be no interruptions, for the TV is with me. It's cable and it's remote control. They comfort me. It prepares a commercial before me in the presence of my worldliness. It anoints my head with humanism and consumerism. My coveting runneth over. Surely laziness and ignorance shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of watching TV forever. Folks, I just want to tell you something. One thing that I understand as first and foremost being a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ is when the Holy Ghost wants to go, let him go. Get out of the way, follow his leadings, Romans 8:14. And it's exactly what we're going to do. So I was going to get on the show here as we got back on the air and say, hey, you know what? I didn't mean to get off course. No, I mean to get off course, because getting off course oftentimes are those prophetic rabbit trails that people need to hear. And that is exactly one of those that we just hit. The history in which we have been given, Americans, whatever evil spoken of, you can rest assured that's who we are. Because it's the bad guys that are trying to rewrite history. Okay? And those that are trying to promote themselves as being the good and the righteous that are warring against what it is that has been established, which, by the way, is 93% of your said representatives. Now you got a new one in Kentucky that are claiming to be the good guys that are warring against what it is that our forefathers established. So it shows you exactly what the people have been given to, because they've been taking heed, paying attention to the lies that have been given to them. And they're drinking in the nonsense by the people that hung heroes, as I was talking about during the last segment. But let's get to this, because I do not want to miss this. On June 6th, 1944, D-Day, we had over 150,000 men that left their ships on Utah Beach, Omaha Beach, Gold Beach, Juneau Beach, and Sword Beach, and they boarded flat-bottom boats. Now, I got to stop again, friends, because I got all this history in my mind. I have been a huge fan of our said military, and I'm talking about our boys. I will support our boys all the way through, but it is for them to take responsibility to know who they're fighting for and who they're fighting against. And again, I'm not here to diminish them in any sense of the word, but there's much of this that bothers me. And in this particular case, it's not so much of what the boys did as what the government did. Because when I look at what took place there on Utah Beach, Omaha Beach, Gold Beach, Juneau Beach, and Sword Beach, as they boarded those flat-bottom boats and were mowed down the minute they got off those Higgin boats, I have to ask myself, why is it that our government brought them right to the beach where there was cliffs that they could never get up above? They could never get at the gunners that were already positioned to attack our boys that were dropped into the place that they were dropped, where it became a turkey shoot. I have talked to military men. I've talked to SEALs. I've talked to those that train SEALs. I've talked to those that have been in the military for decades. And I asked them the question, why did our government drop them off in front of all of those guns that the Germans had set in place to shoot up everybody and anybody that got off on a boat in those particular places? Why didn't they take our boats and then just put them down about a half a mile down the ocean side? How come they didn't go to the left or to the right? No, they dropped them off where the guns were cemented in to mow down over 150,000 of our boys. You have to ask the question, people, why were they sent there in the first place? And don't sit there and tell me, without you thinking through this, as to what your perspective is, and saying that there was no other place to drop them. No, that's why they came in with 101st Airborne and dropped them from the sky. That was the smartest thing they could have done. But to take our boys at 150,000 and just sit there and watch them get mowed down, I just want you to contemplate, and I want you to consider the fact that those guns were cemented in. Those gunners were waiting for our boys to be dropped right at those beaches. It was like they were just waiting for them to come where they already knew that they were going to come. And you know what? The military people that I've talked to about it, not a one of them can respond to it. Not a one of them can. You know, matter of fact, no, with no disrespect, but everyone I've talked to said, Bradley, I don't know. I had another guy say to me, I never thought about that. I said to him, well, I have. Because I don't think there's anybody that can justify what they did with our boys. I mean, folks, when I say it was a turkey shoot, it's exactly what it was. It was predetermined that our boys were going to be dropped at those beaches so they could be mowed down. And it makes absolutely no sense. How could that have been a military objective to drop them off there? What they had to, when they got off the boats, many of them didn't even get out of the boats, by the way. But what's also interesting to note is then they had to cross a half a mile of beach open to the German gunners that were waiting for them for days and weeks to be dropped off in that exact spot. That one bothers me greatly. It really does. Severe winds and vicious seas blew those boats as much as 2 miles off of course. And when the troops arrived on the beach, their battle plans were totally obsolete because the military objective they were trained to take wasn't even there. Amphibious boats were supposed to land first on the beachheads, and then the troops were to go behind the tanks and take the cliffs, yet the vast majority of those tanks sank in the English Channel. There's film for you to watch it, friends. The vast majority of those tanks sunk in the English Channel, drowning the entirety of the crew before they even fired a shot. Boy, folks, a lot of this is very questionable. Most of the air support for the invading forces that they were told would soften the landing areas, it did more damage to cow pastures than it did to the Germans. And in fact, it killed many U.S. troopers who landed the night before because it was overcast and the bombarders waited just a few seconds too long to drop their bombs on the Germans, trying to be cautious. Then they landed in cow pastures and behind the lines of our own paratroopers and were killed by friendly fire by our own people. The German general built dams and flooded the fields. The paratroopers landed in 4 to 6 feet of water. Many of them drowned because they were weighted down with 200 pounds of weapons to fight against and behind the enemy lines. The paratroopers who landed were miles off their course and miles off of their targets. Some paratroopers had their planes explode into balls of fire in the mid-air, planes full of Americans' finest. Our boys! Many paratroopers died in a blazing inferno before they were even privileged to fire a shot. I want you to contemplate this, my friends. 2 years of basic training. They took the cream of our crop, the best that we had. Many of them didn't even get to the ground. They were killed in the air. Some of the paratroopers were dropped right on top of the German-occupied cities and were machine-gunned to death before they even hit the ground. Some of this I understand. Many of those that came ashore on the flat-bottom boats were mercilessly machine-gunned together when the tank doors went down. You can watch that on film as well. On many of the boats, the machine guns fire raked them down and every man was slaughtered before they could even get into the water, much less the beach that they had to cross before they even had a chance at getting at those gunners. Because once they crossed the half a mile beach after they got out of the boat, if they survived getting out of the boat, they had to cross a half a mile and then they had to scale themselves up cliffs to get at the gunners. Now you're starting to understand, friends, the questions that I have, because militarily, friends, it made no sense whatsoever to put our boys and to land them right in the spot that the Germans were waiting for on their behalf. Many of the boats, the machine guns, fire raked them down, and every man was slaughtered before they could even get into the water, much less the beach. There was so much blood spilt that it was said that there was up to 10 yards of blood between the boat and the shoreline, filled with blood. Our boys! Oh my goodness. If only the American people today knew the price of the freedoms that we have. Our churches, relating that to the Christ and the spiritual, our government, our people would be loving each other rather than hating each other, educating rather than indoctrinating, building rather than tearing down, repairing rather than destroying, and honoring instead of dishonoring each other. Matter of fact, transgressions committed against the law within the churches and within the halls of government would not be tolerated by the American people because of gratitude. And how could it be otherwise when they see the price paid for their freedoms? And why? Because the people recognize for themselves the blood spilled for their freedoms. I want to say this, and I say this with a whole heart. I thank the Lord for these men. And I look at a lot of these men that were 15, 16 years old during World War II that lied about their age so they could serve their country. You know, during those times, friends, did you know that if they couldn't serve, if they were considered 4F, there was a reason they couldn't go in the military during World War II in small towns. Did you know that there was numbers of 2 and 3 and 4 people that would commit suicide because they loved God? They loved their brothers and they loved their countries and their country. And if they couldn't fight on the behalf of their country, they would take their own lives. Now, young people join the military because of what they can get out of it, only to find themselves in a third world country fighting against an innocent people on the behalf of tyrants, trying to figure out what it is that they're fighting for, because that's not what they were promised. And because today men have to fight, they commit suicide because they have to fight, not because they can't. It's completely different, friends. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. I'll take that call in just a moment. We'll be right back. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic, without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Andrew Young, former mayor of Atlanta, said, "You don't want to think of yourself as a martyr, but if you worship in a religion, Christianity, where the symbol of that religion is a cross, you are reminded every day of your lives that the cross is not something that you just hang on the wall. It's something that comes out as a result of confrontation with evil, and that when you face that confrontation with evil, you're likely to face the possibility with a physical death. But if you don't face that confrontation with evil, you inevitably face a spiritual death."
In a world filled with compromise and those who cower from speaking the truth, listening to Bradley Dean of the Sons of Liberty is a breath of fresh air in a day and age when you are searching for someone to just tell it like it is. If you are ready to hear the unadulterated truth from the Word of God that will feed your soul, open your eyes, give you understanding, and turn your heart to the Father, if you are ready to take a stand and realize your duty before God and man to preserve the freedom so graciously bestowed upon us by God Almighty and our founding forefathers, if you're ready to set aside the counterfeit and embrace the real, then join us weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. for an encounter that will enlighten your understanding and point you directly to Jesus Christ, the everlasting light.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. Talking about the content in one of my books. It's called Soldier of the Cross, Teaching You in the Natural Concerning the Things of the Spiritual. Jesus continuously gave parables, and he continuously taught in the natural, as well as, if you're just joining us, that you might understand that Jesus said unto them that are without, it's not given, concerning the understanding and revelation of parables that Jesus bestowed upon his disciples. So I want to make clear that we all understand it, but it's called the book is called Soldier of the Cross. We also have a t-shirt online too, for those that don't know. And I'm speaking to our affiliates right now. You go to sonsoflibertymedia.com right now. There is a church up, or not a church, a t-shirt. What is the price? And it has on the very front of that t-shirt, a picture of our boys in Iwo Jima pushing the flag up, which I know is a propaganda measure for those that didn't know. But I have on the front, respectfully, what is the price of your freedom? Ask a veteran. And on the back, it says, what is the price of your redemption? Ask the Son of God, 1 John 3:18. And again, we love in response by gratitude in our actions, and by our actions, 1 John 3:18, and that's why I continuously make reference to it. I'm going to take Marla from Minnesota. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. Marla, what say you, my friend?
Hi, Bradley. Thanks for taking the call.
Of course.
In regard to your book and somebody that commented about that, saying the war is unconstitutional.
Marla, you're really muffled. You're really muffled.
Are you able to hear me any better?
Yep,
now?
That's very clear. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you a story about how my dad got into the World War II. And he was sitting in a theater with all of his buddies afternoon matinee in Pearl Harbor.
You're getting muffled again. I don't know what you're doing or what's going on there, but you're going muffled again.
Okay, so I slow down. Can you hear me?
Yep. You come in really clear, and then you go out and it starts to be muffled again. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
My dad was at a theater with his buddies when Pearl Harbor got bombed. And it really angered him and his buddy. So they decided they were going to go down to the recruiting office the next day. They were going to join the Marines.
Yep.
So what happened is they're all standing outside on a hot sidewalk. All of my dad's buddies get pulled in to get processed. They stopped the line right at my dad, and they said, we're going to shut down for lunch, and then we'll start again. Then across the street was the naval office. That guy came over, grabbed the rest of the men in line, and said, come on in, stay out of the sun. And that's when my dad got recruited into the Navy. As it turns out, every one of his buddies came back in a pine box.
Yep.
My dad ended up in radio school because he knew Morse code. They sent him out on a ship. But what I wanted to say is that people that want to criticize, so be it, it's an unconstitutional war, but what was in the heart of these men?
Right.
They were angry, and they wanted to do something about it.
Yep.
And they all went together without a thought to pitch in.
Amen. I totally agree. I totally agree, 100%. You know, I just, as a matter of fact, Marla, somebody just said, General Dean said, we were fighting for the wrong side. No, that's not what I said. What I said is, I'm going to back our military men. And the issue that I wasn't going to get to is the fact that much of our present understanding of history, it's been completely inverted, which is absolutely 100% true. But I want to make clear that people understand that what we need to do is make sure that we're fighting on the right side. And the way that we do that is we study to know the doctrine, basically in this particular case, the Constitution, because like I said, I come from a military family. My grandpa was in World War One. My uncle's in war. They were both in World War II. My dad was in Korea picking up body parts. That's what he had told me. My cousin was killed in Vietnam. We've had family friends. That their family members were killed in Afghanistan, Iraq. I mean, so again, I back all of this, but I want to make sure that we're on the Lord's side in what we're doing, regardless of what war we fight, because what I don't want, and this is what bothers me probably more than anything, and I say this to you too as well, Marla, is the fact that when we look at a Henry Kissinger who said that our military men are just dumb, stupid animals, said he, only to be used for foreign policy, that angers me greatly. And that's why I add to that in this conversation that if politicians want to create unconstitutional wars, what we need to put a stop to those wars is send them and their families. Because I believe that much of what is going on in this world today is completely backwards, it's completely inverted, and it's completely upside down. And we need to set the record straight. So that is in part of what I am saying, because I want to make clear as to what it is and who we are as a people and what we're honoring here today, because I include every single veteran that we've had that we need to hold in high esteem, because they were willing to sacrifice themselves, as you said, Marla, for the freedoms that we have today.
I can't argue with that, Bradley. I just wanted to have people know that what was in the hearts of these men, they should really take that into account.
Amen. Amen. You know what? And I want to say this, and I'll answer offline, Marla. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. That's why I do what I do. I when I was in the rock and roll world, I had a patch on my shoulder, and it was the 101st Airborne. And when I look back at that, now I understand exactly why I had that on my jacket, because I honored them as a sinner to no end. Because I seen the price paid for our freedoms, and I'm saying to myself, and I even say it now, how is it that we can't honor these men that were willing to sacrifice themselves to give us the freedoms that we have? Now, one of the things that I have about 3 minutes left, so I want to go ahead and propose this question, if you don't mind. This is one of the things that I was going to ask you. I have link after link after link, video after video, audio after audio, of showing how the corruption within the halls of government has still withheld justice concerning those that have been revealed as guilty as H.E. double hockey sticks in this country. They have still to be brought to justice. How is that a gratitude from the American people to allow their corrupt politicians to go ahead and act in such a fashion not to bring justice? What, it's good enough for our boys to sacrifice themselves to die to give us what we have today, but somehow or another, the American people call it gratitude to allow their politicians to reside in the halls that desecrates the blood and the memory of those men? I say shame on the American people for tolerating it. That's what I say. Because of out of gratitude, and we were sincerely grateful for the sacrifice given on this day, Memorial Day, we would tolerate no crime whatsoever from our politicians or within the halls of the politicians, starting first with the church, because that relays right to what? The lesson that we should all learn. If we were grateful for Christ crucified, Him who bled Calvary with His blood to wash us from our sins, do you think for one moment the church would allow sin to be allowed in the camp or within their communities or within their country? Absolutely not. They would demand justice. That's exactly what they would do. They would demand justice. That's a grateful people. A grateful people will bring forth justice upon the heads of the guilty. I want to say this, people. Not to punish evil that Americans tolerate is a lack of gratitude, and it is equivalent to authorizing what they do and approving what they do. I'm going to end with this. Had a radio show host one time. I'm sorry, a manager. He was a new guy, and he came in, and he had asked me to go from KKMS AM 980 over to 1280, The Patriot. And I was calling out the crimes of the current administration, which real patriots do. That's upholding the law that condemns the crime that so many tolerate, but they're so thankful for the price paid for their freedoms. How does that jive? It doesn't. But what was interesting is he came in and he said to me, after the radio show, he said to me, "Why are you disrespecting the office of the president?" And I said, "What do you mean disrespecting the office of the president?" And during that time, it was the criminal sodomite from Kenya, Barack Obama, who transgressed, who stepped on the blood of our boys over 1,186 times when he transgressed the Constitution. This guy had the audacity to come in and say that I was disrespecting the office of the president that just got done transgressing the Constitution that many times over. And I looked at him and I said, "Disrespecting the office? I'm not disrespecting the office. I'm honoring the office by not tolerating the crimes of those that are desecrating the blood of those that fought, bled, and died against such that you yourself are tolerating today. You're disrespecting the office by tolerating it. I'm honoring it by saying, no, I'm not going to tolerate it." And that's exactly what it means in the Christian walk in 2 Corinthians 5:15, to live unto Him who died for us. And if everybody on this day, friends, if everybody on this day in America memorializing the freedoms that they have and the men that sacrificed themselves to give it, they would clean house in one day. They would clean house in one day. If you want to honor the veterans, then stand up against the crimes that you tolerate within the halls of your own government. And don't tell me what gratitude is until you're finished doing it. Love you by what we do. We'll talk to you in 23. See ya.